Hi, everyone, and welcome to another Tech Doctor podcast. With me, as always, is our wonderful tech doctor, Dr. Robert Carter. How you doing, Robert?
I'm good, Allison. It's a pleasure to be podcasting with you again, and hello to all you Tech Doctor listeners out there. Thank you all so much for joining us. We always appreciate that. You doing all right this morning?
Oh, yeah, doing great. It's a beautiful Sunday morning in Northern California. We have a packed show today, guys, and to kick us off, let's have a discussion about the Apple Watch. I hope that everyone out there who wanted to get a pre-order in was able to get it before shipping time started to slip. They're now back until at least, what is it, middle of June, Robert, I think, at least?
I've heard some models are back into July.
Oh, that's tough. Well, I can't afford the edition. I don't know about you, but that's the one I heard it slipped to July.
Could be, yeah, that gold one. Yeah. Well, you know, I was online at exactly the time. It was 2 a.m. my time, 12 midnight your time, when they opened the store to begin the online pre-orders, and I had mine done by 2:05, so it really didn't take very long to get it done if you were lucky enough to get in and get it right away. I assume it worked pretty much the same way for you.
Yeah, I had mine ordered basically within 5 minutes. I had favorited a couple of watches. So all I did was I went to the watch that I had favorited. I had set up Apple Pay ahead of time in the app. So I was able to quickly pay for it and get it ordered in the first wave of delivery times, which is showing up for me as May 24th to May 8th.
Yeah, I did the same thing, but I'm in the second wave, actually, even though we got them in about the same time. I did order the Space Gray with a black band, the sports model, and so it could be that I think that was a really, really popular one. And I think they were snapped up really fast.
That was one of the ones I had favorited. I ended up going with beauty over functionality.
Well, they're just as functional and beautiful.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I ended up going with the one that I thought was more aesthetically pleasing. I went with the, not that this word isn't very nice, but I went with the stainless steel with Melanie's loop, 38 millimeters.
Excellent.
Well, exactly the one I said I wasn't going to go for.
Well, I think you deserve it, so I'm glad you got it. And what do you think of this whole thing about it, about them selling out so fast? I mean, literally, they sold, it's estimated, around 1 million in the U.S., and they've now sold about 2.5 million worldwide, it's estimated, watches since they went on pre-order. I mean, it is interesting just how fast it took off.
Well, in some ways, I have to say I am very surprised because this is a new area for Apple. This is a new market area. And smartwatches in general have not taken off the way I think that manufacturers would have liked. So in that way, I'm surprised. And in another way, I'm not, because it's Apple. They disrupt markets. They take a product that no one really realizes that they need and makes it into something that you need. So in that vein, I'm not at all surprised.
Well, I think that it's really interesting that very quickly, within 10 minutes, literally, they sold more watches than all of the other smartwatch manufacturers sold the entire last year. So that's kind of striking in itself.
That's very telling. Yeah.
It is very telling. The real question, though, I think, honestly, will be, will these kinds of sales continue for months and years? Or is it just the Apple early adopters like us who jumped on it really fast, and then will it really slow down? That's the unknown at this point, I think.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that if it will eventually plateau and drop off. You know, as the early adopters tend to go, so tend to go the rest of the world eventually. And I think that really tells us something about how these products eventually tend to go. Now, again, because this is a new market, and because one could argue that a smartwatch is not as essential as a cell phone, I think that there could be potentially a likelihood that eventually this might dissipate a little bit, this mania. But I somehow don't think so. People are having a lot more of a need to multitask throughout their day without completely interrupting what they might already be working on or the conversation they might already be having. So I think that as people start to see more of these smartwatches, how they function out in the wild, I truly feel that the sales are going to probably continue and be high, if not higher, in the next months to years than they are now.
Well, I think also developers are going to develop lots of apps for the watch that we haven't even thought about yet. And as that excitement continues, people are going to see more and more reason that they would enjoy having an Apple Watch. And you're absolutely right. It's not about need. It's about enhancing what you can already do with your phone. And it sure looks like people are jumping on it like Gary might jump on his big old dog bone there. So I think it's going to be a pretty popular item. And it actually, it already is. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out the next few months. And I'm very much looking forward to getting mine and looking forward to us having a chance to podcast about it.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to other people's podcasts as well. David Woodbridge said on Twitter that he already had 23 demos outlined. And so I'm looking forward to hearing those as well.
Oh yeah, big exciting times. And then also this week was announced that WWDC, which is the Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, is going to be starting on June the 8th. So we're going to learn all kinds of new things there, as we always do. So it's going to be an exciting couple months for Apple and all of us fanboys and girls here.
So exciting. I'm already planning on taking June 8th off for the keynote.
Yeah, it's always a good idea to take that day off and just bask in the keynote, because they're always really excellent from WWDC.
Yeah, there's always so much to absorb.
Well, let's move into our main topic of this podcast. I was wanting to podcast a little bit about the fact that I'm sure, as most of our listeners are, you and I are really busy people. We have full-time jobs and we have families and we have a lot going on. But the reality is that if you're going to stay abreast of what's happening with Apple and accessible technology the way that we try to do, that takes a lot of time. And so we have to somehow squeeze time in to keep up. And I thought maybe it would be useful to talk a bit about how we go about keeping up with all the information, or at least as much of the information as we can absorb, that's always coming out.
That sounds like fun. Let's do it.
So essentially, I guess, broadly speaking, there are probably four ways that I go about keeping up with the technology and with information about it. One of them, of course, is through the listening of podcasts. And if you're listening to this, then you know a bit about listening to podcasts. You may be doing it through a podcast listening client like Overcast or Downcast or the Apple Podcast app, or you may be listening through iTunes. You may be actually going to the drcarter.com website to listen to the podcast. Those are some of the various ways you can go about it. But one of the things that can really increase your ability to listen to podcasts if you're in a hurry and don't have a lot of time is to speed them up. And you can do that really, really well with the Overcast podcasting client, because it has some special features built into it that let you reduce the amount of silence that you hear in a podcast and let you up the speed of the playback of a podcast without changing the pitch or really without modifying the quality of the speech. And I know you also use Overcast, but do you take advantage of those speed technologies to get more get through podcasts more quickly yourself?
So I'm a huge fan of Overcast. I use the regular speeding up technology, and I have it up to 2.5x, which I think is still the fastest you can make it. It's really great. I love the fact that it doesn't distort the voices as you're speeding up. It makes it a really nice fluid listening experience. I also take advantage of the smart speed feature. I love it. I found out by going into the Overcast settings that smart speed has saved me something like 84 hours beyond speed adjustments alone. So essentially like 3.5 days of my life have been saved, if you will. Wow. Have been able to be used for other things.
I'm hoping you've had 3.5 more days of fun. That's what I hope.
I think, yeah, you know, I try to have fun, especially when I'm not at work, you know.
Okay. Well, I thought maybe it would be useful to open up Overcast here on my phone and play just a snippet of a podcast at the speed that you and I both listen to them at. Now, you may not want to listen at this speed, and that's fine. If you have more time, slow it down. Especially if you enjoy taking in every word, slow it down. But I would also say that if you do need to speed things up, the way that I went about it, and I'm not sure this is the best way, but I just put it on the top speed and left it there for all my podcasts until I got really comfortable listening and assimilating the information at that speed. And honestly, now I wouldn't want to slow it down because it does save me so much time. But let me see if I can get Siri to open Overcast here and show you what that speed sounds like. Open Overcast.
Overcast settings button.
Okay, so now we're in Overcast, and I'm not going to teach you how to use Overcast because it's quite voiceover friendly, and it's something that should be pretty easy for a tech doctor listener to figure out. But let me just select a podcast here, and we'll listen to a moment of it.
Podcast, Dear Booker. Book right. Swipe up or down to select a custom action. Number podcast.
This podcast is called Dear Book Nerd because I'm a big books person. It's from the bookriot.com website. And we'll just listen to the introduction in a few minutes of Dear Book Nerd here.
Welcome to the Dear Book Nerd Podcast, a bi-weekly show that answers your questions about life, love, and literature. This is episode number 33, and we are recording on Monday, March 23rd, 2015. I'm Rita Mee, your resident book nerd, and I'm here with very special guest co-host Preeti Chibber, and we're coming to you from bookriot.com. So Preeti is the book buyer for the Teens Scholastic Reading Club, and that sounds really cool, so we're going to talk about that later. She also is a Book Riot contributing editor, and she co-hosts the awesome O Comics podcast for Book Riot's sister site, panels.net, and you can find her on Twitter at RunWithSkizzers. So thank you, Preeti, so much for joining me on this show.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So I guess that sounds pretty fast, huh, Allison?
To the person who is not used to listening to things at speed, I would say that that sounds pretty fast. Jeremy cannot fathom how I listen to most podcasts as fast as I do.
Well, I suppose it's not for everybody, and I don't know whether everybody can necessarily train themselves to listen at that speed. You know, it probably depends on just your personality, your attention span, how you process information. But it has saved both of us, at least, huge amounts of time, and I'm subscribed to around 60 podcasts. I don't listen to every one of them every week. In fact, some of them don't do shows every week. And the only podcasts that I don't speed up at that speed are music podcasts. A second way that I tend to keep track of information is probably getting to be a less popular way, but that's through email list. And I do subscribe to a few email lists. There's a visually impaired iPhone email list, the Viphone list. It's called, there's a John Panarese's Mac for the Blind email list, which doesn't have a huge amount of traffic, but there's a lot of good information past there. There's the Mac Visionaries list, which are just a few of them that I oftentimes pick up information from that I don't get other places. And the Apple Mail program makes it really nice, honestly, to work with email lists because it puts the conversations in threads. And so you can very quickly skim the information in an email list thread by thread. And you don't have to open the thread and dig into the conversations unless you specifically want to know more about that particular item that's being discussed. So if you learn to get really efficient with your email program, that's either Apple Mail on the Mac or Apple Mail on iOS, you can buzz through those email lists pretty quickly. Do you still do anything with lists, or are you away from email lists these days?
I'm completely away from email lists. Twitter has pretty much replaced email lists for me. I can definitely still see the benefit, and if I had just a little bit more time, I would probably resubscribe to some of them. But for now, I'm just not doing that. I don't have the time.
I think that's pretty typical that a lot of people have moved away from email lists, and they probably are somewhat less valuable than some other ways of getting information, because there's a lot of chatter on most of the list. You mentioned Twitter, which is the third way that I know we both get a lot of information. And I think the real key to having success at being efficient on Twitter is following people and companies that provide good information. What you learn from Twitter or don't learn from Twitter, to me, has a whole lot to do with who you follow or who you don't follow.
I absolutely agree with that. And also how you organize your timelines, whether you use lists, whether you mute people who don't provide, who you have followed but don't provide the best information. I have this thing, I feel really bad about unfollowing people once I follow them. So if I find that they're not contributing to my timeline in a way that is making the best use of my time, or that's just a little too chatty about things that I don't really care about, I just quietly mute them. So organizing your timeline in whatever way is going to make sense to you is really important as well.
Yeah, I know you use a lot more, or used to, I assume you probably still do, use a lot more lists than I do. I have one list, which is a list of strictly news feeds like CNN and breaking news and things like that. So when I want to check what's going on in the mainstream news, I will go to that list. And it's also true that when you talk about organizing your timeline or how you read Twitter, we all seem to do it rather differently, even though it seems like it's the same information. But there's a lot of variance in people's satisfaction with the different, especially the Twitter apps for iOS, because some of them work well maybe for the way that I work at Twitter. For example, I use an app called Twitterific. You found some frustrations with Twitterific, and so have I, but the frustrations, because of the way that I use Twitter, I guess didn't bother me or don't bother me as much as they do you. So you have to be a bit picky about which app really works for you. Are you still finding that to be the case, or what are you doing for Twitter apps these days?
I'm actually using the official Twitter app, but I'm finding that I really like it. There are some features, and Jamie Pauls did a wonderful podcast, a wonderful overview over on Applevis of the official Twitter app, particularly the way they deal with conversations. What you do is when you're going through a conversation, it might say something like, if the conversation gets very, very verbose, it might say, and 8 more replies. So you can choose to double tap on that 8 more replies and read the whole conversation, or you can skip over it if it's something that you don't want to look at. For the official Twitter app, I find that I'm making more use of the mute feature in my main timeline rather than relying on my list. In fact, I've deleted my main list and I'm going to maybe end up redoing it. But in terms of making sure that the timeline is streamed to me, I've just been making use of the mute feature in my main timeline. And I have found that the official Twitter app has kind of waxed and waned over the years and in terms of accessibility, but they are really trying to make this a pleasant experience once again on iOS. And I'm glad I kind of gave it another chance after listening to Jamie's podcast, because I'm actually finding that for now, at least, it's meeting my needs fairly well. You're right. I had experienced some frustrations with Twitterific. I still think it's a wonderful app. There are just a few essential things for me that, whether it's due to, I think it's more due to limitations posed by Apple at this time and bugs within iOS that are causing bugs within Twitterific, which for me make it an unusable app at this point. But it still works for a lot of people, and I'm glad that we have choices.
Well, we'll see how you feel about it, because they just released an update to Twitterific, which also supports the watch. I don't know whether the official Twitter app will support Apple Watch or not, or already does.
I believe they already do, or at least it's in the cards for the very near future.
Okay, good. So yeah, I may give it a look also. And that's the great thing about it. You can have more than one Twitter app on your phone without a problem, and switch back and forth if you want to, or try, you know, take the best of all worlds if you want. I also use Night Owl a lot to work with Twitter on the Mac, and it continues to be updated. Again, though, I suppose it can be a bit perplexing if you've customized your Twitter app on your phone with a lot of mutes and so forth, and you switch to Night Owl and you don't have that same customization. I guess that's a bit of a problem, huh?
It can be. I really tend to do all of my tweeting now on iOS. The only time I fire up Night Owl now is if I'm on the Mac and I quickly just want to send a tweet, or I want to look at a favorite or a DM conversation. I don't really use it to take in Twitter, to read Twitter anymore.
Okay. So the fourth way that I get an awful lot of information these days is through the RSS client. And RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication. And it's a way of grouping information together and having it automatically sent to a client. In fact, if you use a podcasting client, you're already a bit familiar with RSS, even if you don't know it, because RSS is actually what's used to get podcasts downloaded to your client. It's just that the MP3 file is enclosed inside the RSS feed. And of course, the MP3 is the audio file. But I'm not talking about RSS podcast right here. I'm talking about the fact that most all major websites, be they blog sites or news sites, have what's called an RSS feed. And so when you subscribe to that RSS feed with one of these RSS clients, then whenever something new is posted on that website, your client will receive a copy of that article when you check your RSS feeds with your client. Now, this was all lovely a few years ago when Google provided a free, what's called an RSS aggregator. I think it was called Google Reader. What you would do is you would go into Google Reader and you would specify which feeds, which websites you wanted Google to keep track of for you. And it would keep track of those sites, and then you could use a client on your iOS device or on your Mac that would go in and gather those articles that Google was keeping track of those sites. But as Google does, Google shut that feature down a few years ago. And people were wondering, well, what's going to be the future of RSS? Is it going to continue? Is it going to die out? What's going to happen? But what happened ultimately was a number of people created aggregators similar to what Google had offered. Unfortunately, most of the ones now that really are dependable and work well, at least that I know about, they do charge a little bit for them, because it costs money to run these servers and to crawl the web for information, which they have to do to keep your feeds up to date. And so there are a few of them out there. I use an RSS service called Feed Wrangler. And I think you were looking even yesterday at Feed Wrangler. Maybe you were looking at a couple others. What did you discover about RSS aggregators, Allison?
I ended up going with Feed Wrangler based on your recommendation. And you're right, it is a little, they charge $19 a year, which when you think about how much we spend on things like coffee or fast food, that's really nothing. I signed up and have put a feed or two in. I admit that I'm still just kind of dipping my toe into this fabulous RSS pool because I get so much of my information on Twitter that I'm trying to figure out where it fits in my information gathering process.
Well, you're making a good point, and it may or may not fit for you. I find, honestly, that a lot of what I read in RSS, I might also see at least glimpses of or hear a little bit about on a podcast somewhere. Honestly, I'm not upset about that because a lot of times it helps me to hear something a time or two or hear a different perspective on something that's going on. So I'm really fine with it. The critical thing is to figure out a way that you can quickly and efficiently get through your RSS feeds. And that's what I want to spend a little bit of time on here. If you were just going to do RSS on your phone and didn't care about doing it on your Mac, that we did talk to Kunal, who developed an RSS application called Lear. I don't know, it's been a while ago when he was on the podcast, but Lear is nice in that it's kind of, it kind of does everything for you. It keeps track of your feeds and it downloads the articles as they come available in those feeds. And then you can even read those articles offline. And that was the real impetus behind his developing this app, was he wanted an app that would let him read his RSS feeds while he was on the train and didn't have an internet connection. And so that, and it's fully accessible with VoiceOver. It's a good choice if you only want to do RSS on your phone. I got to the point where I wanted to have my RSS feeds in sync on both my Mac and my phone. And that's the reason that I went to Feed Wranglers, because that's the purpose that it serves. You sign in to your Feed Wrangler account on whatever device you're on, and then all of your feeds are in sync. So if you've marked an article as read on one of your devices, then it won't show up on any of your other devices. So it makes it a lot more efficient to work with. And I've been very happy with the RSS client that I use on the Mac, which is called ReadKit. It's got sort of an interesting custom interface, but it has a ton of hotkeys or shortcut keys that make it work really nicely with VoiceOver. It's very easy to jump from article to article, things like that, to browse an article, to send an article to a read it later service like Pocket or Instapaper, which we'll talk a bit more about in a minute. So I was very happy with RSS on the Mac, but not so happy with RSS on iOS. I had used a fairly accessible RSS reader for a while called Unread. And it's a nice app. It works quite well with VoiceOver, but it's a little bit cumbersome to use gestures-wise. And I heard Holly Anderson on the Mac Accessibility podcast mention one that she was liking called Fiery Feeds. And so I purchased Fiery Feeds from the App Store, and I downloaded it, and I tried it out, and it did work well with VoiceOver to a point, but I noticed that there were a lot of gestures for the non-VoiceOver user, swipes and flicks and various things that you could do to very efficiently and quickly mark an article as read or move an article to a read it later service, things like that. Those gestures can't be used with voiceover because voiceover uses those gestures for voiceover things. So I wrote the developer and I asked him, did he know of any way to do these things that I was wanting to do with voiceover? And he wrote back and said, no, he was sorry that he didn't know of any way to do that. And so I wrote him back and I said, well, what about using the action item in the rotor to do some of these things? And he wrote me back and said, I don't know what an action item or a rotor is. And I said, well, you know, it's one of the features that I believe came available in iOS 7. It's certainly in iOS 8, where you can have items take place simply by flicking up and down in this action item menu on the rotor. And so this developer went back, did his homework, looked into the voiceover accessibility guidelines and features, found the rotor and the action items, and in the very next update of Fiery Feeds, all of these things that I had hoped for were available through the action items in the rotor, which makes Fiery Feeds completely efficiently usable by a voiceover user. And so my hat's really off to this developer. I invited him to come on the podcast and talk to us about it, but he said no, he was too shy for podcasting, and English isn't his first language, and he just wasn't comfortable doing it, which is fine. This podcasting thing isn't for everybody. But he's done an excellent job on and really gone the extra mile on making Fiery Feeds accessible with voiceover. I don't know whether you've played with it at all yet or tried it out or not. Have you?
I have gotten it, but I have yet to really delve into it. I'm really, really pleased to hear how accessible it is and how committed he seems to accessibility. And in fact, when I was downloading it from the App Store, I did look at the what's new for the latest update, and it mentioned some more voiceover fixes in the latest update. So that's really promising.
It is promising. So I'm going to use Siri to open up Fiery Feeds here if I can on my phone, and we'll show you a little bit about how it works so you get an idea of what I'm talking about here. Open Fiery Feeds.
Fiery Feeds, back button.
All right, so now we're in the app here, and again, I'm not going to teach you how to use Fiery Feeds because it's all very accessible with voiceover. It's pretty easy to figure out. There are a lot of settings, and you'll see some gesture settings in there that don't work with voiceover because they were designed to be used without voiceover running. But this is where the action rotor comes in. So I'm going to jump down here to my list of articles.
All feeds, 25 articles.
And I'm sitting on all feeds now, and there are 25 new articles, it told me. So we're going to open this up and see what some of these articles are here.
Pad and Quill Timber Catch All is an Apple Watch accessory you'll want to own. 15:30 p.m. unread. It's an exciting time right now with many new apps and accessories being announced for the Apple Watch. On Thursday, DODOK has introduced the dual charging dock organizer, which uses the company's bookbinding skills to full advantage in a small booklet organizer that holds a watch charger and other items. Now Pad and Quill has outdone itself and competitors with the Timber Catch All, starting at $99, a dual iPhone and iWatch charging stand handcrafted from American cherry mahogany, $119 or.
This article is from
Apple World Today.
And what you heard there was essentially a thumbnail or headline of the article. I could double tap on this article and open up the entire article and read it right here. Or if I wasn't that interested in the article, I could mark it as read and it would not show up again. Or I could send the article to the Read It Later service that I'm using right now, which I mentioned earlier, which is called Pocket. And then when you send an article to Pocket, I would then open up that Pocket article in VoiceStream Reader. I should be able to flick down through my action rotor items.
Mark article as read.
I can mark it as read.
Mark all above as read.
And I can mark all the articles above this one as read if there were articles above it. This is the first one in my list. But if I was further down the list and I realized, oh, I don't have time to finish this list now, I need to head on out to work, I could mark everything that I'd already looked at as read and it wouldn't be bothered with it again.
Mark all below as read.
I can mark everything below where I am as read. If I'm going through the list maybe the second time and I don't want to deal with any of the articles below, I could mark them that way.
Star article.
Star the article. I could mark it as starred, which is like marking an article as a favorite. And then I can go back and just look at my favorited articles if I want to do that.
Share article.
And now I'm on the share article item. This is where I would send this article to Pocket. So, for example, I'll just go ahead and send this one to Pocket. I'll double tap this.
Pocket button. Pad includes Timber Catch-All, an Apple Watch accessory you'll want to own. 50.
Now the article has been sent to Pocket. So it's now available for me to read, and we'll go look at that in a second and just show you how that works. So let me flip through a couple more articles here just to show you how you can read through article headlines. And next we're going to go to
Apple this recent content.
And let's just flick through a couple here.
Help, I cannot unlock my iPhone. 9:19 a.m. unread. Somehow this device is locked into a voice and or listening function and will not take my passcode to unlock. I have pushed the home button two times. The passcode scene comes up, but at the bottom left it says emergency and at the bottom right it says cancel.
We'll flip again.
Graphic EQ on VLC for iOS. 9:18 a.m. unread. Hello guys, I want to know how to use Graphic EQ in VLC for iOS. Ellipsis forum. iOS and iOS app discussion.
We can keep flicking through.
Looking for accessible word. Box for iPhone. Sort of an unfair thing. Browsing alert and ringtones. Chirp. Tweet. Using blind square with Apple Maps. Searching apps by popularity. Baby adopter for iOS. Feed and take care of backtracking apps. April book recommendations and reviews. Vertical line book riot.
So now I'm down to my Book Riot feed, which will contain information about books. And again, I can read the whole article by double tapping on it. I can send it to Pocket. There are any number of things I can do. I can mark all these as read if I want, so I don't have to see them again later. And of course, then they'll be in sync with the RSS ReadKit application on my Mac. But now I'm going to go ahead and open up VoiceStream Reader and show you this article that I sent to Pocket, how you can read it with the James voice in VoiceStream Reader. Open VoiceStream Reader.
VoiceStream folders button.
And I'm going to go to my Pocket folder here.
Folders, edit, all items, playlist, selected, Pocket. Folders
and
button.
I'm now going to
now reading button settings sort order button
update
refresh button
Pocket by having it refresh
in progress.
And now let's see if this article that we just sent to it is here.
Pad and Quill's Timber Catch-All is an Apple Watch accessory you'll want to own. Apple World Today. Apple World Today. Apple World Today. Pad and Quill's Timber Catch-All is an Apple Watch accessory you'll want to own. Steven Sand. It's an exciting time right now, with many new apps and accessories being announced for the Apple Watch. On Thursday, DODOcase introduced the Dual Charging Dock Organizer, which uses the company's bookbinding skills to full advantage in a small book-like organizer that holds a watch charger and other items. Now Pad and Quill has outdone itself and competitors with the Timber Catch-All, starting at $99.
That was the article that we sent over from the Fiery Feeds app just a little while ago. So maybe that gives a bit of an example of how you can use this app very efficiently, and you wouldn't have to send the articles over to Pocket or to Instapaper, but it is a nice way to save them for later reading.
Well, I definitely want to give Fiery Feeds another look. And I use Pocket combined with VoiceStream a lot for Twitter articles. There are some articles that I want to read right away on Twitter, so I just double tap the link. But for stuff that I want to read later, I've been sending it over to Pocket now, and I actually got a Pocket Premium subscription because you can save articles in your archive, and they will be saved even if the website or blog that you've gotten the article from goes away. And there's been some really great articles that I've wanted to keep forever to refer back to. So Pocket has become a big part of my life fairly recently in terms of keeping my reading materials organized.
It is a way to send articles from multiple sources. As you said, you can send it from most of the Twitter apps on iOS, or you can send something to Pocket on the Mac using Night Owl. Plus, you have all these really great high-quality synthetic voices in VoiceStream Reader, and you have the ability, if you want to be able to examine the text that's there by looking at the actual text itself in VoiceStream. So there's a lot of flexibility and a lot of options there. And those are really the four ways that I try to, as efficiently as possible, get through all the information that comes across our desks. Because if we're going to do a podcast like this, and even if we weren't doing a podcast, I would want to know what's going on with Apple and with the technology. And you just really have to stay abreast, because things literally change every day, every week.
Every minute. Sometimes seems like.
It really does seem like every minute there's new stuff coming along.
I agree that it's more important than ever to stay on top of what's happening in any area of news or technology or hobbies or life or anything in which you're interested, because living in this information age, things change so quickly.
Well, thank you all so much for taking some of your precious and valuable time to listen to us here. We really are honored that you listen to our podcast. We appreciate you and hope you'll get in touch with us if you want to. And Allison, if they do want to get in touch with us, how in the world would they go about doing that?
Well, it's really so simple and yet so wonderful. You just send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. That's techdoctor@dr-carter.com. Particularly if you have ways in which you keep track of what's going on in the world that we didn't cover that you feel really work for you and could work for others, we would love to hear from you. So please do get in touch.
Absolutely. And until next time, this is Robert the Tech Doctor saying so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley saying bye, everyone.